Hey kids, welcome back to the next episode of the Incredible Kids Podcast. My name is Moritz Siri, and I will be your host through this incredible journey. We are going to meet many incredible kids. They are going to share with us their stories. Some of them super cool and different like you've never heard before, and some you may say are just ordinary, but all of them incredible. If you have great ideas, email me today at ikidspodcast@gmail.com. And now it's time for
Incredible Kids.
It's time for the joke of the day.
Yay!
Today's joke is brought to you by
Baruch Shua N from Lakewood, New Jersey.
Why are mountains the funniest place to visit? Because they're hilarious.
Welcome back to the next episode of the Incredible Kids Podcast. Today's episode is sponsored by Yidflix, and I'm going to tell you more about them later. I'm Moritz Siri. I would like to mention that this podcast is growing quickly, Baruch Hashem, and that's thanks to you listeners out there who are telling your friends about it and your neighbors about it, and keep doing that and keep liking us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and wherever else you're listening, and share the link of incrediblekids.org with people that you love, because they too can get on board and benefit from all that we have to offer here at Incredible Kids Podcast. So keep sharing. I love getting your feedback, and welcome to all our new listeners. Today, we are going to talk all about challenges. We've talked about challenges before on this podcast, but today our challenges are going to be different. We have a very special guest named Chiel, who is a 7-year-old boy who has allergies, and he's going to talk about a really, really, really unique and cool experiment that he is undergoing right now as part of a greater project by Johns Hopkins. And he's going to talk about the struggles that he faces with his allergies. And the key here today is dealing with the challenges.
When there's a test on my plate, it's up to me to choose to say I'm gonna face it and embrace it, and I'm not gonna run away.
And being, like we call, like so many people like to say, a good sport. So for our second interview, we have an incredible guest named Golda from Florida, and she is going to talk about her struggles with dyslexia. So two very different kinds of challenges, but the thing that they have in common is that they deal with it in a healthy way, and they have special qualities that help them get through it. Enjoy today's episode. We asked our listeners, have you ever dealt with a challenge before? How did you deal with it? Here's what they had to say.
Hi, my name is Rami, and I'm 6 years old, and my friend said that I'm short. So I told my mother, and then the next day I felt better.
Hi, my name is Yaeli, and I'm 10 years old, and my best friend just moved away. And I talked about it to, like, my teacher and my mother, and like they helped me with it.
Hi, my name is Miriam, and I'm almost 6, and it's hard for me to go on the bus, so I'm going to take a doll, then it's going to be easier.
Hi, my name is Freda, I'm 10 years old. It's challenging for me to do long multiplication, and I'm dealing with it as I'm practicing the times table with tunes.
Hi, my name is Jesse, and I'm 6 years old, and my challenge is that I once went to the bungalow colony for a week, and I couldn't go to the camp because I felt sick, but instead of feeling sad about it all week, I just didn't think about it, and I ended up having a really fun time.
Hi, my name is Lele. I'm 2 years old, and my challenge is I don't like when Patty and my mommy says no to me, and I take a little break, and then I come down, and then I take a little rest.
Hi, my name is Bacheva, and I'm 7 years old, and I have a challenge that I don't really like to eat a lot of foods, and then me and my mother decide that I'll try new food every single week, and it's been helping because now I'm eating a lot of more foods.
I am now ready to introduce Chiel to you. I know there's a lot of kids out there with allergies. So many of you messaged me that you want to hear an episode about allergies because it's a real struggle that so many kids face. You might be allergic to just a peach, or you might be allergic to every fruit and vegetable, or all dairy products, or even the sunlight. So listen and see what kind of lessons you can learn from Chiel's inspiring words. Hi, welcome to the show. Can you introduce yourself to all of our listeners and tell them a little bit about you, where you're from, and how old you are?
Hi, my name is Cleo. I'm 7 years old. I am from Baltimore.
And I'm also from Baltimore. So hopefully we'll be able to see each other around. So Cleo, I'm sure there's a lot of things that are special about you, but can you tell us something that's different about you than your friends?
I'm allergic to a lot of stuff, and sometimes when I go to parties, a lot of people have food that I'm not allowed to have, and I get a little embarrassed.
Okay, so let's start from the beginning. So you mentioned something called allergies, right? You said you're allergic to a lot of stuff. So I know that there's a lot of kids that are allergic to things, all different kinds of things. Can you give me a list of whatever you're allergic to?
Avocados, bananas, wheat, egg, dairy.
Whoa, nuts. More?
Nuts and tree nuts.
Well, in the beginning, you started by saying avocados and then you said bananas. So I thought you were going to say something for every letter of the ABC. Something for A, then for B, then for C.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
And then you went straight to...
And then wheat.
And then wheat. And wheat starts with a W, so that didn't work. Okay.
I probably could say every letter of the ABCs for something.
Okay, so give me something with a C.
Cats.
What? Oh my gosh, you're not joking. You're allergic to cats. My goodness. Okay, let's do one more. D.
Dogs.
What happens when you go near a cat or a dog?
Well, this year we just discovered it. So I've never really went next to a cat and dog.
So you don't really have pets in your family or like friends, so nothing ever happened, but you just know from your doctor that you shouldn't go near them?
Yeah.
Let's talk about a few things that you just brought up. So number one, allergies. Can you tell everybody what are allergies?
When you can't have stuff and like you break out and you throw up.
So those are examples of things that might happen if your body doesn't like something.
Yeah.
Got
or
it.
Or you start feeling like I can't breathe.
Right. That would be really bad. Probably worse than throwing up.
Yeah.
Do most kids have allergies?
No.
In your class at school, how many kids are allergic to something that you know about?
Me and another kid.
So that's it. Just two kids in a class of how many kids?
20.
It's really not something that a lot of kids have, so that makes it hard.
Yeah.
Did you have these allergies since you were born?
Yeah. And when I was born, I used to be bleeding everywhere and like I couldn't eat anything except for like this special formula. And like I was all wrapped in like this special type of stuff because my skin was so bad.
You were allergic to all different stuff, so you were only able to have a certain formula that babies drink. It probably also cost your parents a lot of money, I would imagine, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember how it tasted? It was probably gross.
Yeah, probably.
Baruch Hashem, we don't remember those things. You probably go to an allergist. Am I right?
Yeah.
An allergist is a doctor for allergies. Kind of sounds like allergist. It's like the same show rush.
And always when I take like a blood test, the lady says, oh, how strong did your muscles get?
I'm a big kid now.
Because she needs you to roll up your sleeve?
Yeah.
That's cute. So at the allergist, they do a lot of blood tests and they give you shots?
Yeah.
That part doesn't sound like too much fun.
Well, it doesn't hurt when they do the blood test, but they do these shots every single time I come and it hurts a little bit.
Okay, so we'll get to that in a second. What could you eat? Tell me something you're allowed to eat.
Basically everything in our house because my mother only buys gluten-free stuff.
Even if the other kids could eat it?
I have a sister, Rosie, that's allergic to some stuff.
Oh, so you and Rosie are allergy buddies?
Yeah.
Does that make you feel good that you're not alone?
Yeah.
Does your mother make you something special?
Yeah, like cupcakes. Gluten-free cupcakes.
We talked about gluten-free on this podcast before, and gluten-free doesn't have a lot of ingredients that you're allergic to.
Yeah.
So that would be a good choice.
And it doesn't have egg in it.
Right, but some gluten-free stuff does have eggs in it. So all because something says gluten-free doesn't mean you could eat it.
Yeah.
Because if you can't have eggs, it makes it even more complicated. And you can't have milk. So that makes it even more complicated. What's your favorite food that you could eat?
Sushi.
Mmm. I love sushi. So all the ingredients in sushi you're allowed to have?
Well, some types I'm not. Like the ones with the kani and the avocado.
Right, of course, because A is for avocado.
If you mess up, once you gotta change your name.
So avocado you can't have, so you can't have that sushi.
The types of sushi that I could have is salmon and cucumber, but I usually get cucumber because I don't like salmon.
All right. Are you allergic to any other proteins? Things like chicken or meat, like you could eat all that stuff?
Yeah, not eggs.
Not eggs. We're not going to give you eggs, but chicken and meat have a lot of protein. It helps you grow. And that's why you said before, when you go to the doctor and you roll up your sleeve, you got those big muscles growing.
Yeah.
That comes because from all that good stuff.
Eggs is for E, so I'm not allowed to have it.
Oh, you're right. So we really did get up to E. We're going to write out the alphabet. You're going to send me a copy of the whole alphabet. Okay, well, now we're moving right along in the conversation. And I want you to share with our listeners something that I heard about you. You are part of something really, really cool going on right now. Do you want to tell us what that is?
Incredible Kids.
Oh, baby. Yes, Incredible Kids. But something else also, remember, has something to do with your allergies and a big hospital in Baltimore.
Johns Hopkins.
Tell us about Johns Hopkins.
I'm part of an experiment, like this allergy experiment.
That sounds so interesting. When did you start this experiment?
Over a year ago.
What is this experiment trying to do?
Help me not be allergic to anything.
Wow. An experiment is when you say, I wonder if I do this and this and this, if something will happen, right? So like if you do a science experiment and say like, I wonder what happens if I mix this ingredient with this ingredient. I wonder if my mixture will explode. So the doctors or the scientists at Hopkins, which is a huge, very famous hospital in Baltimore and college, decided that they are going to try out a new kind of like medicine and they're going to see if it works. And if it works, you might not have any more what?
Allergies.
That would be
amazing.
You better believe it, right? So if it works, and it sounds like you've already been doing it for over a year, how much time do you have left? Yeah.
6 months left of getting shots, but I still have to taste meat.
So you still have to taste the foods. The experiment time is over. Then you're going to go back to your doctor and try out all the different foods to see if you could eat them or not.
And before I started this experiment, my eyes used to be like very sensitive to the sun, but now they're not because of the experiment.
So it's already helping, you feel like?
Yeah.
Wow. How cool is that? So tell me about this experiment. Like, what do you have to do?
Every month. Like, I have to get a shot. In my house, I take like applesauce with like this powder to help me not be allergic to stuff. I need to eat it with something that I'm not allergic to because then it will actually make my stomach hurt if I just eat it plain because that part I'm allergic to. So it will actually make my stomach really hurt.
That's very interesting. So what you're saying is that the powder has hidden in the powder stuff that you're allergic to.
Yeah.
So if you mix it together with something that you're not allergic to, like applesauce is good to your tummy, then maybe it will like not hurt you.
Yeah.
I understand.
Be good to your tummy. Then your tummy will be good to you.
And you said that you would get shots every month. Do you have to go to Hopkins to get those shots?
Yeah. First, it was every few weeks, but since it helped a lot, now it's every like month. After a few times, like the amount of powder that I had was like the amount of a whole hamburger bun.
Whoa, that's how much you had already swallowed?
Yeah, that I usually would have been allergic to.
It sounds like it's definitely heading in the right direction.
Baruch Hashem.
Let's go back to the shots for a second because shots are really scary to me. Like I'm a grown up and when I have to get a shot, I close my eyes and I try to think of something happy. What do you do to handle getting all those pointy shots? They're so scary sometimes.
Well, I could have a choice to get like this buzzing bee thing to take away the hurt or I can have ice packs, but I don't like any of them. So I just have it plain.
You just do it.
Yeah.
So if there's kids out there who are scared of shots, what do you want to tell them?
That's going to be over right away, so you don't need to think it really hurts.
Just do it. Just do it. No, no, don't be afraid.
Just do it. Just do it. Hashem is at your side. Yeah.
Because sometimes when kids are like screaming and kicking the doctor because they're so scared, they're wasting so much time doing that. They could have been finished like 10 minutes ago and left.
I want to tell you something that happened when I was at Hopkins. Basically, like at the end, when I was leaving with my mother, I heard like tons of clapping. I asked my nurse what the thing is, and she said usually the unit next door when someone is leaving, all the doctors and nurses clap and cheer for them.
That unit is for kids who have to stay at the hospital for longer. They have more serious, you know, they have to sleep in the hospital.
Yeah. And when they were done, when they left and got onto the elevators, we went through them and they clapped for us. I realized that my thing isn't that bad and I should be thankful for mine isn't so bad. And I should daven for the other people that are so bad.
Wow. Khalil, that's so beautiful. It made you realize that even though your situation is challenging and hard, you got to see something that you feel is much worse.
Yeah.
So did you see that boy's face when he was leaving the unit, when everybody was cheering him on?
Yeah.
Was he around your age?
Like a little older. He was like 9 or 10.
Wow. So you saw how other kids struggle and sometimes they struggle with things that are much harder. I love what you just said about being thankful. It's something that really, really important that I really need to think about more too. And you got to see it with your own eyes. Let's jump ahead for a minute. Meretz Hashem, I hope that this experiment goes well for you and you will be able to try out new foods when it's finished. What's like the thing that you hope you could eat?
Pizza.
Do you get to eat any sort of pizza? Like dairy-free, gluten-free, everything-free, egg-free?
My mother once made me a type of pizza that I could have, but I don't like it.
Yeah. I think you should stick with cucumber sushi.
Sometimes when we eat out or get dinner from a special restaurant, I get cucumber sushi and a hot dog and french fries, and they eat pizza and french fries, and I smell it. And then I ask my mother, can I have? And she says, no, you're allergic to it. And then I say, still, I want, because it smells so good.
It does. It's so hard. You see everybody else eating it in front of you.
Yeah. A few weeks ago, my sister Chaya was saying, what would you ask for if you were allowed to eat everything? And I asked for pizza, big ziti, and cake.
Yum, 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 yum.
When this experiment is over, there is a possibility that if it works out well, there is hope for people with allergies that they can actually eat the things that other people eat, even if they were born with the allergy. Some people grow out of allergies, but not everybody, right?
Yeah.
So maybe this experiment could actually be helpful to people all over, you know, and you could say that you were part of it. That's really cool. You know that? Like, that's a really cool thing to say when you're like an old man.
You'll be like, when I was little, I was part of an experiment at the hospital. I had to go every month and get a shot.
You're going
to
say that when you're like a Rebbe even. When the experiment is over, there's a possibility that maybe it won't work. Like maybe there's things that y'all think that you're going to be able to eat. And then if the reactions come back, how's that going to make you feel? Do you think about that?
No, not really.
How do you think you would feel if it didn't work?
I would feel disappointed because I went through the whole thing with shots that were hurting me and I had to eat food and it was really annoying waiting for it, and then it just doesn't work out.
Yeah. But on the flip side, if it does work out, that feeling, I don't know if you'll be able to even explain in words, right?
Yeah.
How would you explain that kind of feeling? That probably translates as like, best day of my life.
Yeah, I would just not stop smiling.
How I wait for the day, I hope and I pray, I'll never give up as long as it takes.
You mentioned all the way in the beginning about parties. You go to parties and it's like really hard because they're eating, like noshing all this stuff all the time. Like, it's really hard for a first grader to know how to handle that.
I'm so used to it. It's just nothing. Like, just me imagining that it's just people eating metal and it's good for me to not eat it.
So you just imagine in your head that everyone else is eating stuff that's disgusting and you're fine.
Yeah.
Does that work for you? It really makes you feel better?
Yeah.
Okay, good. As long as you don't tell them, like, by the way, you're eating metal, you know?
Yeah.
If Rebbe makes a siyum or something, do you bring your own food that you could eat?
No, because it feels like I get embarrassed.
So you'd rather eat nothing?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you have to do what feels good for you, right? I think that hopefully through things, let's say like this podcast right now, lots of kids are listening and they're going to hear about it. They're going to start being like, oh, that's why Khalil doesn't eat. You probably tell your friends. Like, do you tell your friends about your allergies?
Yeah. All my friends know about it. My friend's mother, since we eat snacks at their house, they always make sure like there's gluten-free stuff for me.
And everything free.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really sensitive and nice of them.
Shout out to Incredible Moms.
Because you hang out with them often enough. You don't have to explain it every single time, probably.
Yeah.
And you're also going to see that, like, since you know a lot about these allergies and stuff, it makes you more mature. You're going to know what goes into your mouth. And like you said before, you're getting so healthy and strong. You know more than a lot of kids your age about what you're eating.
Yeah,
And when I was like 5, my friend's mother just used to always text my mother for if I'm allowed to have something. But now they just ask me because I know everything.
Right. They could ask you because they trust you. You're a big kid. You know yourself better than anyone else, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I have a really interesting question to ask you. There happens to be a store in Baltimore. It's called 7 Mile. You ever heard of it?
Yeah.
They have a really nice owner. And I wonder if you would go to the owner and ask him, excuse me, do you have any food for people with allergies? They're allergic, you know, they can't have eggs. Basically, avocados or bananas or cats or dogs or eggs or continue the ABCs. And I wonder if the owner of 7 Mile would have a lot of food for you.
They do have a lot of food for me, and I basically know every single aisle by heart.
Do you know the owner?
Yeah, my Zadie and my uncle own it.
Wow. So here's my question for you. When your Zadie owns 7 Mile Market, which is the biggest kosher supermarket in Baltimore, are you allowed to take whatever you want?
No.
No? Are you allowed to get anything special?
When I was little, he would say, come here. I want to give you a lollipop. And we would go see everybody that works in his office and go to the back and take a lollipop.
Wow. So you got a lollipop out of it. All right. Maybe you'll work there one day because you know the whole store by heart. It sounds like a lot of kids are probably wondering, like, could you eat candy?
Some types.
Okay, well, which one could you eat? Tell me like 2 candies that you could eat.
My favorite ones.
Mm-hmm.
Jawbreakers.
Baruch Hashem, you could have jawbreakers. Anything else?
A spray candy.
The one that you stick your tongue at and just spray yourself?
Yeah.
Delicious. I'm happy that you could at least enjoy those treats.
Another food that I can't have is licorice, which is for L.
That's right. You're still working on the ABC list.
And I think I figured out H.
What's that?
Hot dogs with buns. And I think I figured out F.
What's that?
A type of fish.
O-M-G.
Your adventure in the last 7 years of your life has been very adventurous. But you have such an awesome attitude. And I love how you seem like you're just such a good sport. You know what it means to be a good sport?
Yeah. I don't know.
Does it mean you're good at sports?
No.
Are you good at sports?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. But what does it mean to be a good sport?
If something doesn't go your way and like you just deal with it.
That's right. That's better than I would have explained it myself. But like, it doesn't seem like you're just dealing with it. Like, you're smiling. Are you always smiling every single second?
No.
And that's normal. Instead of always feeling sad for yourself and always feeling frustrated, you choose to be happy.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you want to say? Final message?
Once I went to the store in Miami and I went there for the first time in my life and there was nothing that it was allowed to have. But then we heard that like this baker makes special pancakes.
Pat a cake, baker's man.
And I really wanted it. And then they gave 3 of them to me and I loved it. And then a couple years later, we went there again and I had them and they tasted way different, but they were still very, very good.
Wow. That was in like a restaurant?
No, like in a lunch store.
Like a cafe.
Yeah.
The same baker made it for you again. And it was with only the ingredients that you could eat.
It was one of the best things ever.
Oh, do you remember what the name of the lunch store was called?
Cafe Vert.
Cafe Vert.
Yeah. V-E-R-T.
I'll have to check it out if I go to Miami.
They were so nice.
That's so good.
I think my mother asked, like, is there anything, like, gluten-free without egg? And my mother had to order it a few weeks before we went there.
You called them in advance?
Yeah.
Wow, so your mother had to think about that. A few weeks before you went to your trip, she had to, like, call the restaurant and ask them what they have for you. And it sounds like your parents work really hard to, like, always make sure you have what you need and also enjoy all the fun things on trips, like that story.
Yeah.
Keep it out for aim. Honoring our father and mother is a mitzvah that Hashem gave us. Honoring them shows them that we appreciate all they do for us.
Wow. Well, it was so inspiring to talk to you and so much fun. And I hope I see you around Baltimore. Maybe I'll see you at 7 Mile. And I can't wait to hear what happens with this experiment. But I know that no matter what, you're a great sport. So if it gets to the point where you're able to, after it's finished, be able to eat so many new foods and maybe even pet some dogs and cats without sneezing or throwing up. Thank you for joining us. And you are an incredible kid.
Thank you.
Hey, incredible kids and families. Are you ready for a video streaming experience that's kosher, ad-free, and filled with fun? Introducing Yidflix for every member of the family. From Uncle Maishi's catchy tunes to the Shazak Parsha series, Yidflix has something for everyone. You could choose to pay per month or do it for the entire year. And here's the clincher. There will be no ads that pop up with something inappropriate that you don't want your kids seeing. And they update their content every single day, so you'll never run out of things to watch. Go to Yidflix.com, YIDFLICKS.com. Follow the link in the show notes and sign up today. It's showtime. Hana, look what came. It's a list of all the kids who are in your gymnastics class starting this Sunday.
Let me see. I want to see. Hey, there's no one in my class. Everyone's from the other class or from different schools. I have no clue who these people are. How come I'm the only one in this one? And look, it says another group and all my friends are in it.
I see.
So not fair. Call the person in charge and tell them that it's not fair because I don't even know one person in the whole entire group. I can't go without knowing anybody.
I do see that most of the kids in this group are from another school. I don't know how that happened, but I wonder if you can use this as like an opportunity to see if you can make new friends and learn skills, even if your friends are in the other group. It's only a few week course.
But I still feel more comfortable doing things with my friends, not with people I don't know.
Well, it's just for a half an hour every Sunday. Do you think you could see this as a challenge, something that's really hard? And maybe we can think about how we can get through it.
Okay. But how?
It is a hard thing, and maybe you could help think of how we can solve this.
If there would be at least a good coach or someone there to help if I feel uncomfortable.
Well, I do see that it's Coach Amy, and Coach Amy you had last year. You remember her, don't you?
Yeah.
So if you're feeling uncomfortable, can you go to her and ask her for help?
Yeah, I could. And actually, some of these girls are nice. I just don't know exactly who they are.
Well, let's check back after the first class and see if you can give it a try.
Okay, Mommy. I think I can do this.
That's called being a
good sport.
Our next interview is with Golda. Golda has a challenge that so many kids have. It's called having dyslexia. Basically, the way Hashem made her and so many other kids is that it's harder for them to learn using written language. So we're going to talk about spelling and reading, and it takes them longer to read and write than other people. It's harder for them. And we know now that kids with dyslexia have abilities that are super, super great in so many other areas, and they go on to become very successful adults. With all the work that they're putting in as kids, they're working like so hard, they are going to leave school and be able to do things that they're really good at. Here is my conversation with Golda. Hi, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you live, how old you are, and anything extra that we should know?
Hi, I'm Golda. I'm 12 years old.
I live in Hollywood, Florida.
I love jujitsu. I have dyslexia. I love to draw, and I love the book Key Velocities. And my favorite song is I'm a Banana.
Okay, you just said like a lot of really important fun facts. I picked up on jujitsu. That's really cool. We're going to talk about that. And then I also heard you say dyslexia, and then you threw in your favorite books and songs. So that's all really fun. We always try to highlight kids who have an attitude toward life that other kids can learn from. In today's episode, we are talking to kids who have different kinds of challenges that are part of who they are, but it doesn't define them as a person. You can still, and you continue to have a full, amazing, and fulfilling life. What do you think a challenge is? How would you explain a challenge?
It's something like in your path that you can turn into a stepping stone. It doesn't block you. It's something, it's like a tool you can just grab and go on your way, you know? And maybe this moment is a
challenge, but I'm not giving up. It's something that shouldn't like make you stop. Something happens and then you use it to get you to the next level. Like you could become better from it.
It's something you take and you use for the rest of your life.
being that you mentioned that you have dyslexia, we're going to talk about what that is, because I'm sure a lot of listeners heard about it, but a lot of listeners might not understand what dyslexia is. Most of the challenge of dyslexia happens probably at school, right?
Yeah, everywhere. I mean, school's like the biggest place it is. Yeah.
School's the main, you know, challenge probably. And then, of course, it comes across. What's hard for you?
I'm spelling 100%. I don't know it. Like, if I look at it, like, people just look at a notebook and just know it for the spelling test, like, bam, bam, bam. Me, I have to write it down 100 times and then talk about it and then reread it. And then it's harder than, like, just looking at it in a book. Like, I mean, I'll read it 100 times and I still won't know how to spell it. It's like...
Mm-hmm. So spelling is super challenging.
And probably grammar. Yeah.
And grammar. And really, I could be wrong, but dyslexia, the way that I know it, is that kids generally have trouble reading.
Yeah. I only started reading like this year because I started Audible.
Mm-hmm.
And once I listened to Audible, I probably listened to about 50 hours this week. And I just this year I started reading. I would like not even touch a Fancy Nancy book. It's too hard spelling. But once I listened to Audible, I started rereading the books I listened to Audible. And then I continued. And reading is now one of my favorite things to do.
Audible is an app, right?
It gives it to me, yeah.
And they read the book to you. Do you look at the book while it's reading?
Mostly, yeah. I'll have the book in my house, but if I don't have the book, then I'll just listen to it. So I just listen to it.
So are you actually reading or you're just calling it reading?
No, I'll listen to Audible and then I'll, like, on Shabbos, I'll read, like, I didn't think I was capable of it. I read two full, like, 900-page books on Shabbos. This Shabbos, so it was, like...
This Shabbos alone, you read two 900-page books?
Like, one and a half, yeah.
Whoa.
Wow.
That sounds like a huge feat. Really big accomplishment.
Yeah.
Okay, so take me back to the beginning years. Like, when did you realize that reading and spelling was challenging for you?
So when I was 7 years old, I got tested and I didn't really know what it was, but my parents told me, oh, you have dyslexia. And so I got tutored in the mornings and then my parents brought me to school. And then when I was in second grade, I moved to a public school. So I could focus on language and I got tutored. And one summer I did about 100 hours of tutoring and I really hated it because all the kids got to go to camp and I was like pulled out in the middle of camp and stuff like that. Or I would wake up early and I was tutored and then go to camp.
So when all your friends were in camp, you were busy in summer school.
And I hated it and I cried about it. And now I use all those things. Like I still remember every single thing they taught me because I still remember it. And
from the summer or from public school?
From the summer and also public school because I got to focus on like one language and it wasn't like Hebrew, English, like Spanish and stuff like that.
Switching to a public school from a Jewish school was probably a very big change for you.
Yeah, I mean, I was in second grade, so I didn't really know better, but people were very nice. So And one day when we had a spelling test and the teacher said a word and every single kid shot off their hands and I didn't. And this is a memory that like I still remember. And that's the first time I realized I had dyslexia. Every single kid got that answer right. And I'm like, why can't I get this? Why is it so easy?
What was the word? Do you remember what the word was?
I think it was cinnamon.
And what grade was that in?
Second.
One of your strongest memories from second grade is that.
Yeah. I was like so confused. I'm like, why can't I get it? Like, why is it so easy? Why did I just put that in someone else's memory and not mine? Like, I didn't understand. I was so confused.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I get it? I just thought, oh, every second grade is supposed to know. Like, what second grade is it supposed to know? Like, tutoring, I just thought it was an extra teacher. I just got annoyed about it, but I didn't like understand like why I needed it.
Wow. So then how did they explain dyslexia to you when you were little? Like when they said, okay, you have dyslexia.
I mean, honestly don't remember. I just remember them saying, oh, you have dyslexia. In third grade, my mom told me about like an IEP and stuff. So I started knowing what it was. But In fourth grade, I really acknowledged it. And then from fourth grade, I've been really proud of it. Like my mom in fourth grade gave me like two shirts that said, oh, dyslexia is my superpower. Dyslexia this. And I love wearing those shirts and I still have them.
That's so cute. Dyslexia is your superpower and you're proud of it.
Yeah. And like my first thing when I walk into a classroom is, hi, my name is Golden, I'm 12 and I have dyslexia. And everybody asks me and I just love because dyslexia, there's so much other things that come with dyslexia.
I've been through everything and after all I've been through, nothing can push me down away from the life I choose. I know I am a fighter, a life worth fighting for.
It's amazing that you're so comfortable with yourself and you're not like embarrassed of it sounds like. And you're just like, you know, you became proud of it.
There's so many other famous people out there that have dyslexia. Like I wouldn't even have thought like Albert Einstein had dyslexia.
Really?
Yeah. Mr. Wonderful.
He really does?
Yeah.
Wow. And you're saying that these people become successful and they have important jobs and like it doesn't hold them back.
Yeah. And like even though they probably got bullied and stuff like that and they just like used it and because it was harder for them, they knew that like life is like if it's harder, then it's going to be easier to push when you're older.
It's called becoming resilient. You go through a hard thing and you work on yourself tons. Even when you were like 7, 8 years old and you're like going through this hard challenge, you do so much more work on yourself and then you could like face anything. I like the word superpower because superpower means that you have like extra ability. So like Golda, how do you think you grew as a person? You're 12 and you have your whole life ahead of you, Meretz Hashem. So like how have you grown already as a person despite or with your challenge or because of your challenge?
I think I'm a lot more creative. Like every time I meet someone, you're so creative. Like everyone says that to me and it makes me feel really good. And I feel like if it's like harder for someone to do something, it like strengthens the other person.
How do people realize how creative you are?
In camp one year, I did these boxes by everybody's bed and like I called them Happy Mail as a joke. Like everybody gave each other notes about each other like, oh, you're so good at this. You have really pretty this. I started doing origami. Like in school, I have this whole sketchbook full of stuff, games in school, makeup.
Everybody wants to be with the creative people. They're the ones who are just, you know, good times to be with. But not just that, being creative is using all your inner talents. So you're developing yourself. So you mentioned before that you do jujitsu. It's not something that I hear kids do every day.
Like jujitsu is not something like hurting. And like, I don't know about karate, so I can't really say, but like, I think karate is like hurting someone. I feel like jujitsu is more like to protect yourself and like save yourself.
Karate is also like punching and chops
no,
and stuff.
No punching, you're not allowed to kick. It's like the most peaceful art out of all them. You're not allowed to kick, you're not allowed to smack. It's very calm in a way.
How do you feel when you're doing it?
I feel really good because it's not something like I'm sitting in a classroom. Jiu-jitsu, I feel like I'm actually going to use it in my life.
I just want to go back to your story for a minute. How many years were you in public school for?
I was in public school for 2 years.
And so the school that you're in now is a regular Jewish girl school?
Chabad school.
Well, Chabad is Jewish. Yeah. When you came back, like how was that for you back in the classroom? I could imagine that that came with its own challenges.
I mean, yeah, I didn't know a lot of Hebrew then because I was just in public school for 2 years. I was behind a lot and also in English. I mean, I wasn't that behind in English, but it was like different because I was used to in public school, like a lot of my teachers like gave me a lot of attention and it was different because it was like so many girls. And
now you were part of the crowd.
Like I finally got to understand the math and then we're like totally doing a different thing in like a Jewish school. It was like very different.
So were there any like specific people that helped you, you know, to help it make it easier?
My aunt, her name is Leva, she helped me a lot in Chumash. She like pulled me out so I wasn't behind.
Let's go, Leva.
What kept you positive and, you know, just like happy like throughout? And what keeps you now? It's still something that you have.
I know I'm going to be able to use it like when I'm older because I'm really excited to have a business. I want to be an entrepreneur and I want to be a billionaire and I want to.
A billionaire. Yeah. Okay. Well, you have to start with something. Do you have ideas already now of how you're going to get there?
I did a business in school this year.
Can I ask what it was?
Yeah, I did a candy business. I started with like $10. My mom like lent me $10. I went to Dollar Tree and I turned it into like $2,000 this year. So.
You serious? You just were reselling candy?
So I bought bubblegum, Laffy Taffys and stuff and Ring Pops. And then I sold that and then I made money. And then girls started wanting to copy me, but they didn't understand like that if you buy something for $1, you have to sell it for $1.25 to make sense.
Within the year, you were able to turn $10 of buying candy into $2,000.
Yeah.
I mean, do you realize that's crazy?
I'm just really excited when I'm older to have a business. I don't know.
I could tell that the way your mind thinks is like already like you're ahead of yourself and like the calculations.
It's like how you feel about it. It makes me feel good. So that's what I want to do. If it didn't make me feel good, I wouldn't want to do it.
I love that you already started on your ambitions already. You're like, okay, like it's going to get me through school if I just keep looking forward to the day that I can make a business. But let me just start now. Like, why not?
Yeah.
Are you the kind of person that's always walking around smiling? Like,
I'm the type of person walking around my school hall singing I'm a banana.
Singing I'm a banana?
Yeah, it's my favorite song and I'm known for it. If you ask anybody in school, I'll be like, hi, and they're going to be like, oh, hi, banana. So it's just, I started singing it one day in the halls and now everybody calls me banana.
I have to hear the banana song. You walk around like silly, happy, like that's your vibe at school?
Yeah. If I'm having a good day, yeah, I'm a banana.
Bananas are yellow. Yellow is cheerful, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah.
It's a cheerful fruit. Having a learning disability and knowing that you have dyslexia and having the troubles that you have when it comes to spelling tests and understanding and reading and all that stuff, now that you've already been working on that for a few years, do you feel like it's not a big deal anymore, or is it still something that you really struggle with every day?
I don't struggle as much as I used to, but I do think I like jumped very far, but I still think it's a little hard thing, but it's something I can still use like every day.
That's awesome. What advice can you give to kids who find something about school and learning hard for them right now? I know a lot of kids that struggle with reading, like they look at the ABCs and it looks upside down to them and they can't put the words together. Or with math, whatever the topic is school related, what advice would you give a kid who's really having a hard time?
It doesn't matter like how hard it is. The more you try, like the easier it is. If you mess up, you get back up again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You just remember not to fall on that leg again. Do the same mistake, because if you lose, it's better than winning, because if you win every time, you're going to lose. And if you lose every time, you're going to end up winning because you're going to know what not to do. If you just keep winning, you're not going to learn anything. It's just going to be, oh, that's easy for me. And one thing hard comes, oh, I don't know how to get past it. It's just like something you can bring with you your whole life. It's a talent.
Wow. Very, very well said. Golda, that was beautiful. I also want to say that in the beginning, I didn't even realize this when you said this, but in the very beginning, I asked you to introduce yourself and you told me in your introduction that you like this and you like that and my favorite book. I was like, okay, cool. Cause like, I don't know, fun fact. I wasn't even thinking like, oh my gosh, we're about to talk about learning disabilities and reading and everything. It really came like full circle for you that like, who would have thought, you know, imagine like the person who tested you when you were 7 years old and told you or your parents, okay, your child has dyslexia. I don't know. Like, you think that that person would be surprised to know that you're reading books like that now?
Maybe, probably. I heard of a lot of people that had a lot harder than me. They only started reading at like 15 or 16 or 17.
Mm-hmm.
I feel really bad because it's something that like a lot of people are scared of books. Like, I would never even touch a book. It just looks like so many words and wasn't going to mean anything. And now, like, my favorite thing to do is go to the book aisle. Like, every time I go to store, just go to the book aisle, see if there's any good books. So I'm constantly asking my friends, what's a good book? What should I start?
That's really cool. Now you're like obsessed with books, probably more than regular kids even.
Yeah, 100%. I love books.
I really think it might be because you really appreciate something, like you conquered it.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, it could be you never thought about that before, but that's my guess.
Totally brings you into like another world.
Books are like your friend wherever you go. Like, you take a book with you, you're good.
Like, it's so good, books. Everybody just says, oh, it takes you into another world. That doesn't mean anything. But it actually, like, I feel like I'm there. I'm just 100% there.
Do you have any other friends that you know personally that have some sort of learning challenge?
Yeah, I just tell people, oh, I have dyslexia, even though I know they do. And then people start telling me they have dyslexia. Oh, that's so cool. You have dyslexia. That's like my approach. Not, do you have dyslexia? Oh, I have dyslexia.
The friends that you know that also have dyslexia, do they like talking about it the way you do?
I'm not sure. I'm for sure the most open about it.
Right. Everyone. But that's also important to realize that like some people are not comfortable talking about it. And I guess they just have to come to that on their own and make their own decision if they want to talk about it or not. But I definitely think that being open about it and understanding that that's just like how you were wired, you know, that's just how you were made. There's no reason to really feel embarrassed or shy about it, but 100%. We can't make them feel that way, you know?
I think like dyslexia is like, if there's a blind person, their other senses are so much stronger. So like dyslexia, like everything else is so much stronger. If there's one thing that you struggle with, your other senses will be much.
Like a blind person could hear very, very, very well because they can't see. So they compensate.
Yeah, like they'll hear a sound that you can't or something like that. They'll catch something you can't because when one thing's down, the rest are up.
What about you? Do you think got stronger because of the dyslexia?
People say about me, I'm really good at drawing. I just feel like I see a lot more. When I look at someone that either is in a classroom, most, if I was a teacher, most kids would look at, okay, which kid's going to know it before I teach me? I would look at kids like, oh, which one's going to struggle? Which one can I help? Like, in a way, if someone's new to school, other people would be like, Kate, is she smart? Is she she could be on my team. I'm looking for someone that's a little lower than me so I can actually teach them.
When a new friend comes to your class, you want to look out for them to help them become their best self?
Yeah. There's always something out there that's going to be easier for you because something's a struggle. There's always something out there that you're going to love and you shouldn't give up because the classroom is so much harder. I always thought, like, if I'm bad at spelling, then I'm going to be bad at grammar or math. I'm going to be bad at everything in the classroom, but I really love math in a way because I feel like I'm actually going to use it. So.
And now, Golda, you also know that you and Albert Einstein are buddies.
We're both Jewish and we both have really cool hair.
I was literally about to say that. I was about to say that if you let your hair out, you look like good old Albert E=MC².
Yeah.
You have beautiful hair. You don't look anything like Albert Einstein.
Is that a compliment?
I think so. Golda, is there anything else that you want to share before we end off?
My first book that I liked that my mom read to me was A Fish in a Tree. It's about two kids that had dyslexia and it's really good.
A Fish in the Tree. Okay. Yeah.
And then there's another book called Dyslexia, My Superpower, and then a little space bubble, Most of the Time.
Most of the Time.
So people drew how they feel, and it's a really good book.
Wow. And that was a book that your mom read to you, I guess, when you got the news that you had dyslexia?
Yeah.
So I guess kids who have it can look into getting those books to read, and it made you feel better.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. You are such a rock star. Thank you so much for being so open with all the listeners and sharing your story. And I wish you so much success. And I can't wait to hear awesome things from your entrepreneur career that has already started off, but I know it's going to get way bigger. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And now it's time for homework. Oh, come on, not that kind. This week's homework is to print out the paper that is in the show notes. You can find the link to this document. You can print it out. It's basically a chart. You all know how charts work. It goes through the days of the week. And if you can check off as many boxes as you can on this chart. No, obviously you don't have to have perfection, but there's categories in the chart. Like you start off your day saying that you're thankful for something. You asked for help with a challenge. You celebrated something hard that you did. If you can check off or make a smiley face in the box next to that day's accomplishments, you are going to be working on being a good sport and making your day truly incredible. If you do this, please send your homework, you know, take a picture of it to iKidsPodcast@gmail.com. And everybody, thank you for listening. And don't forget to rate us and share the podcast with all of your friends and have an incredible day. See you next time on Incredible Kids.
Are you an incredible kid? Send your story to iKidsPodcast@gmail.com.
Subscribe today to the Incredible Kids Podcast.
Thanks for listening, and remember, you are all
incredible kids!